Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon.
Can you state your name?
Benjamin Belmontes.
That's fine.
Okay, Mr. Belmontes, my name is Luigi Nunes. I'm the acting chair of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The next voice you will hear is your panel lead, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
Mr. Belmontes?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please restate your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Benjamin Belmontes, 143997.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on December 17th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you can hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So which is it today? Did you hire an attorney, sir, or will you represent yourself?
That would be myself.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look on the screen to your right, so my left, down that way, is the Honorable Louis Quinones at the end. The next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing. We also have in the room with us here, and I'll get him on the camera for you. Oops. There we go. We have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Belmontes and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Belmontes?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And Mr. Westby?
I do.
Thank you. So Mr. Belmontes, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. With phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two, to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, Mr. Belmontes, I'm going to read each one of these allegations to you, and I'll need you to respond whether they're true or false, sir. Okay? So we'll start phase one, and the first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 12, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 30, 2018. Mr. Belmontes, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay, sir.
Yes.
And then the second allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on October 16, 2018, as directed verbally by Officer Hayes on October 15, 2018, via phone call. You were actively avoiding supervision, and thus you weren't absconded from supervision. Mr. Belmontes, is that true or false?
Yes, that's true, but... Yeah, that's true.
Okay, and you'll have opportunity to explain in phase two. You'll have plenty of time to tell the board anything you want the board to know. So, but for now, based on Mr. Belmontes' admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself. Second, Mr. Neal. Agreed. Mr. Johnson. Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Belmontes, we'll move to phase two of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. But before we do, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us some background information. And so just stay on the phone. We'll be right back to talk with you in just a moment. Okay, sir? All right, thank you. Mr. Westby.
Mr. Belmontes was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on July 24th, 2018. He was arrested November 26, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody November 26, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of March 4, 2019, 41 abscond days. Prior conviction, threatening and intimidating, two counts, each for 3.5 years, 2015. Participating in a criminal street gang, 3.5 years. He has prior convictions in 1999, theft, 2 years. 2001, theft of means of transportation, 3.5 years. 2001, aggravated assault, 1.5 years. 2007, drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2007, theft of means of transportation, 3.5 years. 2009, narcotic drug violation, 1.5 years. 2013, threatening and intimidating, 2.5 years. This is his sixth term in DOC, CUIR score 4.4, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. Gang information notes, he's admitted member of Barrio Hayden Park criminal street gang. He has prior terms of supervision, 1999, TIS release absconder, 46 days, read CCD prior to seeing the BOEC. 2005, TIS release absconder, 8 days, reinstated by the BOEC, completed 2 months. 2008, TIS release absconder, 103 days, arrested on new felony, possession of narcotics, revoked by the BOEC. 2010, TIS release completion, 8 months. His disciplinary violations are significant with drugs, threats, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrests, 1995, burglary, Arizona juvenile probation. 1997, marijuana violation, Arizona County Jail. 2007, drug paraphernalia, Arizona County Jail. 2016, dangerous drug violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G7V8.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, Mr. Belmontes, we have a brief written summary of your what occurred while you were on supervision. So I'll go over that with you. It looks like you were released to live at 234 West Southern in Phoenix. And did you stay there the whole time that you were out?
Yes.
Okay, and who else lives there at that apartment?
It's my mother.
That's your mother's apartment, okay.
Yeah, all right. My mother's.
All right. And were you working?
No, I was looking for a job though.
Okay.
Day labor, that's it.
Okay. And what
jobs here and there?
Do you have job skills? What kind of job skills do you have?
Well, to tell you the truth, I totally forgot, but I got certified masonry from a course I took while I was incarcerated in Sebola.
Oh, good.
I totally forgot all about it.
That's a good program, too. Yes, I've seen some of the things that students built there. It's really good stuff, so.
Yeah, I learned that, so
okay, that's a very good skill to have. So you were also, let's see, you were responsible to submit some urines for testing, but it looks like in August, September, and October, you didn't submit when you were supposed to. Any particular reason?
I believe I told him that I was dirty, so he didn't have me go submit.
Oh, okay.
I told him I was dirty for this reason.
Right, okay.
And then he said, all right, well, I'll just clean up. And
okay.
So I did. And,
what were you dirty with, sir? What drug were you using?
Marijuana.
Okay. Anything else?
And one time I did meth, and then another time I was dirty at marijuana after I stuck. Cleaned up.
Okay.
For different reasons.
Well, there's a sentence here that says you were asked about drug use and you had said you used meth on October 1st, but then you also said you had used meth approximately 6 or 7 different times in the last 60 days. So you were using methamphetamine?
Yes, I was.
Over a period of time?
For like a week and then I stopped.
Okay. And
it wasn't the whole 60s, it wasn't not the whole 60s every day.
Okay. And when's the last time you used meth, sir?
Up until maybe a couple, the day, 2 days before I got incarcerated.
Okay. So about, looks like around Thanksgiving, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so what were you doing when the Phoenix PD picture? What? Why did they look at you?
Well, I went with an acquaintance from my apartment complex. She was going somewhere. She had a dispute or whatever, and so I went to just go with her.
Uh-huh.
She asked me if I would like to come with her, and I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll go. Why not?" I had no intentions on nothing. Just stay there and giving her a little support. You know what I mean? And I can barely hear you. And then, I guess the situation escalated, and the officers were called, and they came, and just, I had one
also the situation that she was involved in escalated?
Yeah, there was a dispute between them, and I minded my own business just to make sure nothing bad, seriously, would happen.
Right, okay.
To her, and I was just there just for support for her.
Okay.
I was getting involved in under it, I was just, so no terrible ideas would happen.
Okay, because I look in your past and I see you have convictions for threatening, and there's a couple. You have two different sentences, including the two counts that you're in for now. So this was not a threatening situation where you were there to threaten them, or?
No, ma'am. I learned my lesson with threatening, and I learned how to govern my tongue, so I pretty much try to remain mute because I have to speak up.
Yeah, that's a good thing. How did you learn that? What helped you learn that?
Well, I write, so, the charges will actually tell me. I gotta be careful what I say because it could be taken out of proportion and blown up.
Okay. Have you taken any counseling or anything, sir? When you were out or even in there, have you had classes or anything?
Well, no, because the certain particular yards I've been on, it didn't provide like those high security most yards, and they didn't have too many.
Right. I understand. But sometimes they'll have like an anger management class or something like that.
When I was enrolled in those classes, I don't know, something happened with the CO3s, they switched up, they went to another complex, so we canceled classes, and substance abuse too I was in, but it's just the CO3s weren't, they had to rotate them or something, I did attend them for like a couple weeks,
so
they had to switch up.
And were those helpful? Did they at least get you thinking a little bit?
Yes, I mean, there's knowledge, and that's all I need. I'm not, like, too familiar with civilian knowledge. I should say, I don't know if that's the appropriate word, but my mind's pretty much was stuck in here.
Okay.
And I ain't got too much experience at society, but...
Okay. How long have you been in prison?
I'm trying to do.
How long have you been in prison?
This time or altogether?
Yeah, what's the first time?
20 years.
20 years, yeah.
20 years in prison, 19 out.
That's a long time. Yeah.
I'm trying to deal with it, but it's hard when you got all these circumstances around you on social media. It's kind of hard, you know?
Yeah, really?
I didn't know nothing about none of that.
We'd rather not see you in Orange. We'd rather see you on the other side, so. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any. Anybody have a question for Mr. Belmontes? Okay, and Mr. Belmontes, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance, if there's anything else you think, oh, I wish I had told the board this, now's your chance. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I do. I apologize if it takes a little long, but I wrote down a little something I do
want to
express.
You go ahead and read that.
I got a list of pros and cons, but...
Okay.
My pros are job searching, I was, relationship, I mean, I wasn't looking for a relationship, but I do, like, you know, companionship, I should say, day labor, I was trying to make ends meet, as well as waiting for applications, it was hard to get around at times, I had no bus fare just to go look for a job, so I would have to produce money, I had no support, my mom was on a fixed income, $200 a month, so it's kind of hard for me to start to begin with. My goal is I was looking forward to a goal, my dreams and goals. I do have dreams and goals and aspirations. I do like writing, so I do want to get into music somehow, somewhere or another. As a hobby, if it happens, it happens, but it's going to be a hobby I know I got to look at the daily life. I had to go little simple things. I've got my ID, social security, food stamps. I did what I was supposed to, just to try to help my mom and try to stay on track for parole. I was determined not to fall into criminal activity. I didn't. I may have been surrounded by it and it had came to me, but I was determined not to fall into no threats or burglaries or nothing like that. I don't steal. I stopped stealing in 2005. At 25, I didn't steal. I used to steal cars and stuff like that, but I stopped at 25, and I did it since then. technology nowadays, but relationship, I guess I wasn't clear, or I made it clear, but I don't know, somehow it went sour, but institutionalized. I mean, I'm not just saying it just to say it, but I don't know civilization. You know, I'm stuck inside these walls. Fences and bars is pretty much all I know, and the people around me is all I know, but I try to cope with it. I can't take it out there, and I know I got to follow guidelines as the laws and out there on the streets. Since losing my dad, I had no real, he wasn't living with me throughout my life, but I had to grow up to be a man. And at the time that I did meet him, he wasn't around. He died in 2012 when I got the threat and intimidated. I was supposed to be his caretaker, and just, I don't know, he just died when I got locked up. So when I got up past 2012, it was hard for me to straighten out without the proper guidance to learn how to turn into a man. Because I feel I'm very 19 years old. I feel 19. Well, everything, then I got cut off with food cell support to help put in my mom's refrigerator for us to eat. So, and I don't know, for whatever reason. But another pros and cons, and this is what I would like to say, excuse me for not being articulate. It was a little hard learning how to deal with society at large for me, but it was a little rough trying to adapt, but no excuse. I was a little shell-shocked from the high-level yard, from being straight to the central unit, 2 years to the streets, and throughout my life. You know, I cope with it, and I'm slowly, bits and pieces, I'm learning how to deal with society. Lockdown, tutorial freedom, it was a little overwhelming, I should say. From no responsibilities to a full-blown burden was difficult. I had no responsibilities, they came to me, you know, and then I had to go earn for myself. It's hard doing that without knowing what I grew up around, or what I taught myself, I should say, or what I learned myself. Being confined in my room, it was hard for me to socialize normally with people out there, because in here, I don't talk to a lot of people in here. It's not a good thing to do. Because I don't want to be here. I'm tired of seeing their faces. So I just don't socialize with a lot of people in here and carry it out there to the streets. It's hard for me to just socialize with people out there. I don't know why. It's just hard. It did take a psychological toll that continues to the point. I really do believe I need the mental evaluation for diagnosis of mental health. I feel I've lied, you know, I've come in, they do evaluation mental health, the site sees us, and I guess I was in denial. I don't want to believe I'm that weak in the head, but I do believe I need psychological evaluation. Excuse me. Simple things were born to me, such as breakfast, dinner, lunch, bus fare, just job search, applying for assistance, applications, all that was hard, but the reentry program in Central Unit was barely started in Central Unit, and they put me in my open up the reentry program, and they just didn't have the proper paperwork to teach you how to fill applications. All I had to do was bring an application and just show you how to fill it out. And that would have been stuck in my head. And questions I don't know how to answer, like what jobs have you had, and the dates and all that. I had a couple jobs throughout my life, but I didn't know dates and what to do if I maybe haven't put dates. I didn't know how to do that. I don't know, when I get frustrated, if they're not gonna take it, I would start thinking negative. If I had a little more information about that, which I have no, I blame them but myself for. And simplest things before all, just see my might be a little hard to get around. Reentry was sort, my reentry was sort of ideal in regards to an experience and educated mind could remain, but I remain adamant on staying on track. It was just hard for me to cope, and I failed. Reality said that I did need help. Maybe my father taught me how to man up. You guys have been there, but I'm learning on my own. But I'm not on my own. But it's hard to find a good role model nowadays. And when I did falter, I felt disappointed. Recently, when I did falter, I felt disappointed and ashamed at letting my people and myself down. Because I was telling him, yes, I'm ready, I want to do this. But when I messed up, I felt ashamed and disappointed and panicked. So that's what led me to be scared to go. Well, I was going to see him, but it's just, it got brought to a panic overall. It was hard to recover after that. But I did, only to make another mistake. Although reassured by my people, he was there to help me. My good judgment was clouded by negative influence from past experiences and a confined mind. I mean, I had no idea what to expect. I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, it's just what it is. I apologize if I keep on repeating that. To come into terms with it. I ventured on spoke just trying to catch up to a fast-paced environment in which I fell behind. In a tunnel vision, I was just trapped. I didn't know how to tunnel vision. But due to a positive influence that came into my life, I got back on track. That's when I had to clean up. I had no choice but I had to clean up. But on site, when my guidance was removed, my support group, I lost, you know, a positive influence that I had, you know, that I really was not followed example by, but it's still the will to want to turn my life around and do good. For simple reasons. I totally forgot about my vocational skills that I recently attained, which I'm looking forward to practice. Certified Mason. I totally forgot, and now I can't wait to start building. 19 years experience in my life, barely come to terms with the death of my father. It's barely settled in. I will go out there now. Then he can go back, but he wasn't there. It's been hard to grow up, to face realities and responsibility while dreams are distinguished and pursuits and trying to reach goal before 40, before my heart is distinguished. That's all I got.
Okay, Mr. Belmont, well, you say you're not very articulate, but I like the way you think, and I like the way you organized your thoughts. So thank you for that. I like the pros and the cons. I thought that was an interesting way to think about it. So
That was my brainstorm.
All right, well, it was a good brainstorm. So, Mr. Belmont, the board is going to go into discussion, and we do a discussion in public, so you just stay there on the phone and listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with you in just a minute. Okay, sir?
I appreciate you listening.
All right, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Belmont is an interesting character. I think he's a good thinker. He's got his thoughts organized and said a few things that were interesting, and one of them to me was that he's got some goals. Didn't really tell us what his goals are, but I believe he's got them, and he talked about writing, and he talked about the fact that he's been in prison pretty much half his life, and that he still feels in some ways like he's a 19-year-old, and I think that might be true, but I also think he's smart enough, and he's enough of a logical thinker that he's going to figure it out. I just have a feeling about him. He does have, he did abscond, which is not, that is a concern to me. But he's got a release date of March 4th of this year. And I'm thinking that the best thing for him would be for him to use that brain and take that, this about a month that's left, and think about all those things that he's written on that paper and make himself a plan. So he's got the luxury now of a little bit of time where he's somewhere familiar and safe, and make himself a good plan so that when he gets out, he's thought through in advance what he's going to do about some various things. Like, for example, he now remembers he has the masonry certification. So, and maybe make it on a list of all the positives and the pros that he's got going for him. Anyway, those are my thoughts, but I would listen to any thoughts of how more comes. Then, based on information in warrant 2018W3145, I'm going to offer a motion based on that, our conversation with Mr. Belmontes, information from Mr. Westby. I do move to revoke his community supervision, as Mr. Belmontes was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 41 days.
Second. Agreed.
Okay. So a motion by myself, second, Mr. Johnson, agreed, Mr. Moon, Mr. Camille. Okay, we're back to you, Mr. Belmontes. You were showing you a release date of March 4th of this year, so it's not very far away. And what I'd like to urge you to do is, you're a good thinker. I would take those points that you got on that paper and think about those, and think about where you're going to live, think about what you're going to do if you see friends coming toward you that you'd rather not be around. You think of, what am I going to do when that situation happens? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do for a job? Where are some places I might be able to apply my job skill? I think you're going to make it. I do think you're going to make it, because you saw what career you know. Now you're going to be fine. You just have to decide that you're going to make it. And talk to your CO3 about maybe some ideas about what you can do about drug use and problems. There might be some counseling that maybe is available to you on the outside, sir. So we certainly wish you the best. Next time we see you, I hope it's like at the park or in Safeway or somewhere. And you won't be wearing orange then, okay, sir? Thank you so much. Well, thank you for participating today. And if you'd lay the phone down, let the CO3 know that you're finished today. Thank you, sir.